This is Alive with Joseph.
So this morning we are going to labor under the topic, the faith of the just. Turn to somebody and say, the faith of the just. Turn to somebody else and say, the faith of the just. I'd like us to open our Bible to the book of Romans chapter 1. Verse 17, we read it in the King James Version. It says, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. When it talks about the just there, it is talking about you and I, because we have been justified, isn't it? So it says, the scripture says, the just shall live by faith. It says, therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. In what? The righteousness of God is revealed in what? It talks about the gospel. If you read the chapters before or the verses before, it talks about the gospel. It says, Paul writing to the Romans says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And then this verse comes later on where he says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Can you say that? The just shall live by faith. I like this scripture particularly in another translation, the Bible in Basic English. It reads as follows. It says, for in it there is the revelation of the righteousness of God from faith to faith. As it is said in the holy writings, the man who does righteousness will be living by his faith. That last part is the part that I like, because it says, we'll be living by his faith. So, Wanamrena, the question that we must ask ourselves is, where is my faith? As Christians, you know, we drive cars, we drive fancy cars that tell us where the gauge of the petrol is, right? But I want to ask you a question. Have you ever stopped to wonder and ask yourself, where is the level of my faith? The Bible says that you and I will be living by our faith. Yes, we have faith in Christ. Yes, there are things that we believe. But now, where is the level of your faith? That is a question we need to ask ourselves, because that is completely linked to our ability to function as Christ wants us to function in this earth. So basically, that scripture is saying your faith and my faith are critical to our survival in this world. The Christian and the non-Christian cannot be similar, because the Bible says that you and I will be living by our faith. So the non-Christian will not be living by faith. They may live by religion, they may live by rituals, but not by faith. It is you and I who live by faith. Can you say amen? So the Bible says that you and I will be living by our faith. And when we look at that, we can see that it is present continuous tense. Right? We'll be living by our faith. It is not talking about past tense. It does not say that the man who does righteousness would have lived by his faith. It says we'll be living by his faith. Schoa. Hectic stuff. Right? Present continuous tense. So from the moment that you receive a scripture that gives you faith, it gives life into your situation and continues to give life into whatever situation you are using your faith in. So when we understand that our faith is an active thing, it's a living thing. The Bible actually says about scripture that the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, I think, says the word of God is sharp, right? Living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It is living. It is not something, a ritual, a religion that we do. It is living. So it is an ongoing occurrence. Your faith and my faith cannot, should not be static. Faith should not be something that we do on a Sunday. Faith is not something that we just do on a Wednesday. It is an ongoing occurrence. It is live. It is active. It is transformative in nature. So we look at two ways in which these things, or the purposes of today's study, we can look at this faith. So the personal faith you and I have in Christ will cause you and I to live. Personal. So it is not about our, you know, pastors praying for me, you know, my leader is praying. No, no, your personal faith in Christ. That's why I'm saying, where is your gauge? Is it close to empty? I remember some time ago, it was a very interesting thing about the gauge. So, what do we call it? A Chevrolet Spark. You know, some years back, I had that car. And so I was driving back from work, and I had read on the manual that this car, I need a reserve tank. I was like, let me test this out, right? And so when I was driving back from Lebowang's side, I got stuck. Because I wanted to see how far this reserve tank can go. So I had to call my wife and say, where are you? Where you are, please? Nyagasku pumu wesa 2 liter and come and rescue me, right? Little did I know that she was with her mom. The embarrassment when she came through. I was like, hey, wanora mtagwa kujangwanarna. Oh no. This bride is suffering because of him. Right? So, you know, as a man, you always want to test out things, right? So when I saw that the car was close to empty, I wanted to find out, this car, you know, with the VWs, we know that close to empty is around 70 Ks, right, that it gives you. So I was like, you know, I've not driven this model of car. Let me try it out. Well, I won't try it out again, I can tell you that. But it gives an indication of how much. So my question to you today is, are you on reserve in terms of your faith? Maybe every Sunday you come to church. Maybe you sit in these chairs, in the pews, but the word of God comes in through one ear and goes out through the other. Because scripture actually talks about the Israelites and says the word that they received did not benefit them because it was not mingled with faith. It is important that the word you and I hear is mingled with faith. Those who bake know that, you know, if you want something to, you must put in baking powder. Huh? Or you must buy some self-raising flour if you want to see that thing rise. But sometimes we're expecting things to rise, but we have not put our faith in there. So it is important that you and I understand that our personal faith in Christ is what will cause us to live. Secondly, the faith itself is critical and is a qualifier for your advancement. So the faith element is important to the Christian. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not about just coming to church. It is not just about answering to the title of being a Christian. That's not what Christianity is about. So the faith element itself is critical. Turn to somebody and say, it's critical. Because what happens is that faith is a qualifier for your advancement. We know what Hebrews 11:6 says. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It does not say it is difficult, or if you are good, you'll get it right. It says it is impossible. So if you and I do not have faith, it is impossible to please God. God did not bring you and I into this world to suffer. In fact, the book of John 10:10 in the Amplified Classic Edition says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. You know, in the first service, Ruti Sean was teaching under the subject, the wisdom of the just. And he said something interesting about the devil. He said, you know, he doesn't introduce himself when he comes into the scene. He doesn't come to you and say, Braga, nabanzabagasati, and I'm just here to give you a hard time. I'm here to steal, to kill, and to destroy your life. No, no. He comes very subtly. So the scripture tells us that the thief comes in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So whatever the devil says he's helping you about, no, no, he wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You think the devil just wants you to have a nice time. You're like, ah, this thing is not so bad. No, no, his end goal is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So whatever in your children's lives, when you see something that is out of line, it's not just about enjoyment. The devil introduces it into their life in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is his agenda. Every time Satan calls a meeting, he tells his demons, comrades, I want updates. Tell me, this week, who stole, who killed, who destroyed. If you want to get your performance bonuses, tell me. That's the agenda of Satan's meetings. It is the agenda of all his meetings. When he calls them, he says, did you steal? Did you kill? Did you destroy? But Jesus speaks here and he says, I came. Thank Jesus that he came. Is somebody happy that Jesus came? He says, I have come. I came that they may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. 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 You know, when you visit people's houses, they watch a cool drink. It doesn't overflow. They can fill it to the brim, but it won't overflow. God says that if you come to my house, it will overflow. God says, if I am going to do something for you, it will be in abundance to the full till it overflows. So it calls into question, child of God, to say, if things in your life are not in abundance to the full till it overflows, your faith should be working to say, that is what I need to achieve. That is the importance of your faith. To say, these things need to occur in my life. This is what I need to see. This is what my faith needs to work out. In abundance, to the full, till it overflows. Christ is saying, if you are not experiencing this, you are not experiencing what I want for you. And the Christian must understand that. And as Christians, the challenge is that sometimes we experience life. Life batters us and we settle. We say, it's fine. You know, I'm doing okay, man. I have a car. I sleep in a house. I don't sleep under a bridge. Kisha, woman. You know, I'm trying my best. But he didn't come for you to nah. He came for you to have life in abundance to the full till it overflows. Turn to somebody and say, in abundance to the full till it overflows. Look, man, I want to have a problem with parking cars in my garage. There must be so many cars I must struggle, right? Then I'll say, oh, no. This is in abundance to the full till it overflows. I must struggle so that when I put my clothes in my wardrobe, you know, I must struggle to say, no, this is in abundance. This is to the full. This is till it overflows. I want to be called by the bank. You know, they say, no. What's working? Your bank balance. Invest some of it. And I say, oh, no. It's to the full. It's in abundance. This is overflow. That is what God wants for you and I. It is not just something to get you excited, child of God. Listen to this with circumcised ears. Because even as we end 2025 and go into 2026, believe God for greater. Believe God for the best. Don't believe God for where you are and say, no, this is fine where I am. No, God wants greater. God wants better for you. In abundance to the full till it overflows. In conjunction to the scripture, there's another scripture in 1 John 3 verse 8. The B part says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus says, I came on the scene to destroy the works of the evil one. So whatever in your life does not align with what God wants, Jesus says, it's for this purpose that I was made manifest. Jesus did not come into the earth to make you and I feel good. He didn't come into the earth to make you and I look good so that people were, darem, man. No, he came so that you may have life in abundance to the full till it overflows. And so he says that the purpose of my manifestation in the earth is to destroy the works of the devil. So in whatever form that you see the works of the devil, Christ says, I have come to destroy those. So we should not live with things that are not what Christ basically wants for our lives. Sickness and disease should not be a part of our lives. We should be standing in faith and saying, I hear what you're saying, doctor, but not me. He says, by the stripes of Christ, I have been made well. Have been, past tense. So it is not something that I need to attain. It's mine already. And therefore, when it comes to your health, you need to fight for that and say, no, I believe what God is saying about my health. So that is what faith is capable of. It destroys the works of the evil one. It is able to isharakancha Satan, your faith. So when the enemy touches you or comes after you, it's not because you are special. No, it's because he's coming after your faith. The Bible says that persecution arose for the word's sake. After the word was scattered by the sower, the birds of the air came to eat that seed. Why did they come to eat that seed? Because that's what the devil is after. He's after the word. He wants to squeeze it out of you. You know, do you know those people that when they brush their teeth, it's like war? You know, that toothpaste, the whole thing comes out, right? Even as kids are learning, you know, they squeeze that thing. And once toothpaste is out, you can't put it back, right? So that's what happens, that the devil tries to squeeze the word out of you. With the circumstances of life, with worry, he tries to squeeze the word out of you. And you must not allow that to happen. You must keep a lid on it and say, no, no, I know what you came for. I'm going to keep my head level. I'm going to keep my faith level up. Because when the devil comes, he comes for the word. And when he comes for the word, he knows that we only have faith when we have the word. Because for faith to work, it is the word that is at work. Amen. So the devil and his mother-in-law are not invested in the prosperity of the child of God. So when the devil and his mother-in-law turn up, just know, they are not interested in the prosperity of the child of God. They are not here to help you. The devil is diametrically opposed to your lifting. And that word diametrically is a very nice English word. It can make somebody sound intelligent. You can just go around saying diametrical, diametrical. People won't ask you what it means. They'll just say, oh, intelligent, intelligent. Right? But the word diametrically means that it's like fire and water. Worlds apart. It means night and day. So the devil is diametrically opposed to your uplifting. So he doesn't want you to be uplifted 10% or 5% arnyana. No, he wants to see you completely and utterly destroyed. So we must understand, child of God, that we have an adversary who is the enemy of our souls. He is diametrically opposed to our lifting. And that's why it is important that we have and be a people of faith. Because storms will come. But when the storm comes, does it find your faith in reserve? Or does it find you full tank? Right? I know these days they use bars and graphs and all of these things. But where does it find your faith? That's why Jesus was manifested, to cancel the plan of the devil concerning your life, concerning your destiny, concerning your family, your children, your business, your career. Whatever concerns you, Jesus has come so that you can have victory in those places. So the scripture says in 1 John 5 verse 4 that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Even our faith. So you want to overcome the world through connections. It can help you now and then. But what is the victory that overcomes the world? According to scripture, it says our faith. So if you leave your faith behind and you say, no, I'm not too interested in my faith, he's very good, you know, he can get me out of this. It's not the victory that the scripture talks about. It says the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. Turn to somebody and say, our faith. Turn to somebody else and say, my faith. So I'd like us to look at five things your faith will expedite. The word expedite means will accelerate, will cause to come faster, right? So five things that your faith will expedite. The words you speak and the actions you do are a reflection of your faith. So if you are not sure where the gauge of your faith is, two things. The words you speak, your actions. So if your actions already tell you, that, you know, you're not engaged. Your faith is a bit low. The words you speak, you know, people will greet you. You know, sometimes I see people and, oh man, you can tell the level of their faith is high because you greet somebody, how are you? No, I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you? And by that time, Nagirle, no, I'm fine, you know. And you're thinking to yourself, yeah, no, Rams, you need to improve, man. They ask you, Rams, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm blessed and highly favored. Like, okay, I need to improve. You know? So the words you speak, they tell you. You can gauge where your faith is. Concerning a matter that is of concern in your heart, maybe your bank account is sitting at negative 1 cent, right? You swipe that thing and you're like, I forgot that debit order. Now it's sitting at negative 1 cent. So when people come and they greet you, hey, it's am I? You're like, yeah, no. Those words tell you about the level of your faith when it comes to your finances, right? You are counting the weeks or the days. You're like, yeah, no. It's going to be a long one, right? So it tells you what you say, what you speak tells you about the level of your faith in your heart, about whatever matter of concern. If you're struggling with sickness and disease, you're fighting it, and you are putting up a fight of faith, and somebody asks you, how are you feeling today? It tells you about the level of faith in your heart. Right? Because why we share? The Bible says that you are healed. I jiga jigi. The Bible says that by his stripes we have been made well. The Bible says that he will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. Right? So that's what you and I need to be saying about our situations. So we need to speak the word of God. But if we don't speak the word of God, it tells you that the faith level in your heart, high. It needs to be revisited. So let's look at the five things that your faith will expedite. The first one is that it will enable godly living. When you have faith in your heart, it will enable you to live a godly life. So living a godly life talks about living a holy life, growing in Christ, praying, reading the word, studying, and telling people about Christ, evangelism. Right? That's what faith will do in your life. Because Christ wants to reach the lost at all costs. He will ensure that when he puts faith in your heart, that faith enables you to reach out to others. You won't be selfish with your faith. So another thing that it will do in enabling godly living is will make sure that you serve God, because that is your ministry to others, right? You will find somewhere to belong so you can serve. You know, you find people who are serving, they are serving here, there. They are serving in multiple places. Why? Because there's faith in their heart. They believe that God can do things through them, and that's why it enables them to live a godly life. Secondly, it will bring healing and divine health. Turn to somebody and say, healing and divine health. Healing. The second thing, healing and divine health. So it will help you achieve bodily well-being. It's not a story, you know. If you've ever been healed, if you've ever enjoyed good health because of the word of God, can I see your hand? If you are struggling, just look at all these hands. Please keep them up. Please keep them up. So that somebody will receive faith and see that the word of God works when it comes to healing and health. Come on, keep them up, keep them up. I apologize, I know you're reserved, you don't want anybody to see. But if you are here and you're struggling with your health or whatever, just look around, look at all these hands and see that God can heal and God can give us divine health. So be encouraged, be encouraged. The word of God through faith can bring health and well-being. Another thing about health and divine health, we're speaking here about bringing mental health and well-being. So the word of God will help you not to live constantly in worry, right? And you'll have mental well-being. Maybe when the word is preached and faith rises up in your heart, maybe at some point you'll quit social media. Now my mental health is being, you know, it's being compromised, right? Because, I mean, on social media, we all post the best moments, right? I don't post when I failed a particular subject. I post the graduation, right? And then you're all like, hala, 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 but, you know, I didn't get the easy, And then maybe you're there, you're seeing people graduating and thinking, ChatGPT, right? Because in your heart you're feeling, So the well-being that the Word of God will bring to you is that when you take the Word and you apply it, it will bring mental health. We live in a generation where mental health is sometimes looked at as something that somebody must overcome alone. No, it needs the Word of God. Yes, others must support you, but it is the Word of God that can bring real change in the heart of His people. The third thing that we look at that will expedite your faith is that it will bring victory over the circumstances of life. So it will cause you to overcome. That's what faith will do. It will cause you to overcome. Because we all have challenges. We all have temptations, right? We all face evil. The Word of God will bring victory in all those circumstances. So it will help you to enforce the will of God. Like I said before, God wants you to be uplifted. And the devil is diametrically opposed to your uplifting. So what you and I as children of God needs to do is to enforce the will of God. That's why we have a police force. Or, well, they changed it. Police service now, right? I mean, the police force was those with the yellow vans and, you know those guys, right? If you are of age. But before, it was the police force. Right? Because they were there to enforce the law. So you and I are enforcers of the Word of God. When things are not going as they should, it is your duty, child of God, to enforce through the things you say. To say, I expect the healing of God in my life. All my needs will be met according to His riches in glory. Exaltation does not come from the east or from the west. It comes from the Lord. Those are the words that we should speak. So it will also help us to deny the flesh. So it will give us victory over the flesh, right? Because the flesh wants things that it shouldn't want, right? You'll see during fasting next year, your flesh will be telling you, just keep one day. Right? You know, yeah, today. Tomorrow. Just eat today. That's the flesh for you. It will tell you, no, just eat. You see, if you eat today, I'll encourage you, Rur, for the next 20 days, you'll be fine. That's the flesh for you. So it gives us, the word, faith gives us power to deny the flesh, to keep the flesh in check. And lastly, under victory over circumstances, to resist the enemy of our souls. The devil is the enemy of our souls. And what he wants to do is to steal yours and my destiny, right? And therefore, we need to oppose him. We need to resist the enemy. The Bible says in Psalm 143 verse 3a, in the Young Literal Translation, is that for an enemy hath pursued my soul. So the enemy is always after our souls. But we don't care about him because he's a defeated foe. You know? So we just focus on the work of the Lord. When he turns up, we just kick him aside. You know? Somebody said that if you have a message for the devil, write it under your shoes. Because he's under our feet. You don't need to post a letter to him. If you have a message for the enemy, write it under your shoes. He'll read. He's under our shoes. Amen. The fourth thing that we look at is that it brings influence and prominence. So God wants you and I to do well in life. So to dominate wherever we are. Genesis 1:28 says, be fruitful and multiply. What the scripture means there is that we need to be productive. It's not necessarily talking about having kids, you know. Because when we hear, be fruitful and multiply, we're thinking, no. You can ask me about it, you know. But, you can ask me about it. I know a thing or two, right? But what it's talking about here is about being productive. Turn to somebody and say, be productive. Turn to somebody else and say, be productive. God wants you to dominate whatever industry you're in. Right? There's a saying that says, whatever the shape of the bottle, the foam always comes to the top. Right? You and I are the foam. Right? Because we are above and never beneath. Right? So whether they put you in a bottle that has a weird shape or whatever, you are always meant to rise to the top. Oh, your amen is looking for my trouble. You and I said, is that we are always meant to rise to the top. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. right? Because you and I, God expects us as Christians to be at the top. So in terms of our knowledge, in terms of our expertise, in terms of the wisdom in ways that we do things, God is expecting you and I to be at the top. That's what he's expecting, for us to dominate because of Genesis 1:28. And as well, God's will is for you and I to be a billboard of his goodness. Can you say amen? Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world, right? You and I, we are the light. If you read before that, it says you and I are the salt, right? It doesn't say you and I are the sugar, right? We are the salt. Salt preserves. Salt brings the real taste of things. If you're going to have a steak and you have it without salt, you might say, oh, this thing is terrible, right? But when they bring the salt, it brings out the life in that thing. So you and I, whatever environment we are in, we are meant to bring out the life, the purpose of that place. To your born-again friends, you shouldn't be the sugar. You should be the salt. Because salt and sugar look alike, right? If you've had a bad week, you find you maybe the sugar ran out, right? And then the coffee was interesting. Coffee, you know? But you and I are called to be the salt, to bring preservation, to bring out the purpose of life. So we meet our friends and we become sugar, you know. They are comfortable around us as Christians. Because if we are salt and our friends are custard, I must spoil it for you. If you are going to live ungodly, Usanjo Rufilo, no, there's a Christian around, right? I must spoil it for you. Because if you come to my house and you have custard, right, vanilla custard, and I pour salt in there, I will not life age, right? So our friends, we must be an influence to everybody we come across. Amen? I can hear some very nervous amens, but it's an amen. It's an amen nonetheless. I'll take it. It's fine. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the other thing is that we need to assist others to reach their God-given potential. That's what families do. You and I, as members of a Life Church, we are a family. I should be present enough to help you reach your God-given potential, right? I should help you get there. And that talks about correction as well. We need to correct each other in love. We need to correct each other because that's something very difficult for Christians to do. Is something difficult for Christians to do? Ooh, I'm alone on this one. Okay, it's just me. It's fine. But we need to assist each other to reach our God-given potential. Correction takes place through the word of God. The word of God is our corrector. So it is the word of God that will correct us, that will put us on the right track. Lastly, the five things that will expedite our faith. The last one is that it will bring peace and prosperity. So it will bring wholeness and wholesomeness, right? So by wholeness and wholesomeness, I'm talking about balance. The word of God will bring balance. Right? Because the word of God is not what does the English word say, tilted or lopsided, right? It brings balance. If you have money, you will have time for your kids. You will have time for church. You will have time to pray. You will have time to read the word of God, right? You won't become so busy that you neglect other things. So it will bring, that is what we talk about when we talk about peace and prosperity. But for some, you know, and I think it is a practice that we see in South Africa, that people are focused on just the money aspect. People are just focused on the fame aspect to the exclusion of all other things. That is not the peace and the prosperity God wants to see you and I have. There needs to be wholeness and wholesomeness. Turn to somebody and say wholeness. Turn to somebody and say wholesomeness. It needs to be wholesome. It needs to bring about a good change. Not just a change, a good change. Another thing is that it brings a sense of identity. God doesn't want you to lose yourself. God wants you to be you. An important thing is that God builds with stones. He doesn't build with bricks. Somebody just thinks, those are most dear analogy. Stones have their unique shape and composition. But bricks are all the same, isn't it? You can see the bricks on the building. They all look the same. Right? I mean, God brought it close to home. Our family was legane or our own children. It's because God can use things that are not equal to bring about a good thing. So God uses me short as I am, and he uses you tall as you are. Thank God for your tallness, but I thank God for my shortness. There are advantages to this, well, maybe. some time ago, before these appeared, right? There were advantages. These appeared and gone out the window. This appeared, gone out the window, right? But God doesn't want you to lose your sense of identity. As a Life Church, we celebrate your uniqueness, right? We like you for you. Don't try to be me. Don't try to be pastor. Be yourself. Be yourself. And that's why Alive Church appreciates you guys, appreciates me, because God wants us to not lose our identity, to be me, right? To dress the way I dress, to cut my hair. Right? It doesn't need to be a situation that, no, because you're in Alive Church, now you cut your hair in a particular way. No, it doesn't work that way. Right? And lastly, under peace and prosperity, it's there to achieve depth in your expression of God-likeness. Right? So God wants you to achieve an expression of him, because you are an individual. So if you are married, he doesn't want to lose you to lose yourself in marriage, to lose who you are. If you are employed, he does not want you to lose yourself in your place of employment. He wants you to be unique. He wants you and I to be stones, not bricks. Don't go to the office and turn into a brick. But where will the pencil lay? No, not in that number. No, but I need a stationery in January. I'm requesting stationery. Right? God doesn't want you to be a brick. He wants you to be a stone. He wants you to be unique. He wants to build with the way you are. Because Genesis 1, verse 27, B and C says, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Child of God, God wanted you to be a female. God wanted you to be a man. So don't wish for something else. I'm not even being political about that. I could switch to political. But what I'm saying is, I'm not being political about that. I'm saying that the way God wanted you to be, he created you that way. He knew that Rams will be effective as a man. He knew that you would be effective as a woman. He knew that you would achieve the purpose that he sent you on the earth in the way that you are. So don't allow yourself to be limited, because our faith sometimes is limited by things that we think in our mind to say, no, maybe if I was a woman, I know. If I were a lady. No, no. God wanted you to be the way you are. And for you to function in the fullness of what he wants for you, he created you that way. Right? You look in the mirror and he says, he wanted you that way. He wanted you that way. Because God builds with stones. So I'd just like us, before we close, to look at examples of those who walked by faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. We're just going to go through all these verses quickly. It says in verse 17, by faith, Abraham. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. Verse 28, by faith, the Passover. Verse 29, by faith, the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho. Verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab. You know, we put an arrow over there because this thing is still continuing. By faith, Rams. By faith, Tsepo. By faith, Paul. By faith, Sean. It is still continuing. These people lived by faith. And it is an expression of who you and I should be. Because that chapter of Hebrews is not complete. You and I are still writing it today. You and I are still writing it. You and I will still be part of that chapter in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. But you know what's interesting? There are people in the Bible who are not there in the chapter. Because they had an opportunity to live by faith, they decided not to. There were people that God wanted to use, they decided not me. They said, no, your faith, you're not. But God says, these people, by faith, obtain the promises that God gave to them. I mean, we don't have the time, but look at that. A guy like Abraham, you know, he always baffled me because that guy had a lot of faith. In his old age, he expected to have kids. I would have just said, God, it's fine. Kishap, hello, pala. I'll adopt, get that your plan. But he was a man of faith. So stop saying about that job that you want to say, no, ipadile. No, by faith, Abraham. It should be your story to say, by faith, you should be like somebody like Moses. You know, Moses stuttered, but he still allowed God to use him. So don't let your stutter stop you and you say, I cannot go. You know, the guy was talking to, a person like Moses went and spoke to Pharaoh. Archie, not we show Donald Trump, not say what will happen. Do you understand the level at which this man functioned? So Moses spoke to somebody like a Donald Trump, and we all know about him, right? So you can see that by faith, the Passover made sure that when the angel of death came, it passed over the children of Israel. It was by faith. It was not by luck. It was not by connection. It was not because they were good people and they had lots of money. No. By faith, the walls of Jericho. By faith, the Red Sea. I mean, the one that I found very interesting was verse 31, where it says, by faith, the harlot, Rahab. You know, I like that word harlot because, right? It puts it nicely. It seems like, this person, you know, harlot, it's a very nice title, right? But the word of God said, God, verse 31 says, by faith, she had faith. This harlot walked in faith. She cannot be better than you. She cannot do better than you and I, child of God. We live under the grace of God. So you and I need to be walking and experiencing that faith. Seeing victory. You know, her life, upuluride because of faith. Right? So you and I need to activate that faith in our lives. Our faith should not just be redundant, useless faith. You know, that when the devil sees you, this one, the faith is useless. This one does not pose a threat. The devil will not say that about me. I refuse. I refuse. I want to be a troublemaker for the enemy. When he sees you and I as people in a life church, as a congregation, he must know these are troublemakers. When he meets you, you know, I grew up in the township. And in the township, when you're walking at night and you see people with their hands behind their back, you change the road. God gives you wisdom to say no. Because if it's three of them, two go to one side, one go, and you're in the middle of the road. My brother, hey, you're about to give a donation unwillingly, right? So you and I need to understand that. And even as we close, I want us to look at verse 32, which says, and what shall I say more? You know, the writer of the book of Hebrews 11 says this, and says, for the time would fail me to tell you about Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. You know, I like that one here, Samuel, that is there. Because Pastor Sean touched on Samson earlier when he was teaching in the first service. And he called up a young man, and they asked the young man, how much do you weigh? And he said, I weigh 55. And Pastor Sean said, you know, God used somebody like him to lift. He taught us, Samson was not a buff guy. No, 55 kgs, quite slender. Right? But he used him to pick up gates that are worth 2 tons. That's like a double cab bucky. That's like bakery, right? I was encouraged when I heard that. I was like, happened now I weigh more than 55. It means God can use me. What that tells us is that it was because of God. It was because of the power of God on Samson that God was able to use him. So the scripture tells us here that we can't even tell of those stories. It was by faith that those folks achieved what they achieved. And in closing, we look at verse 33 and 35 of that same book of Hebrews. We can't talk about faith and not look at Hebrews, right? It says, 33 says, through faith they fought whole countries and won. They did what was right and received what God had promised. This is in the Good News translation, yeah? It says, they shut the mouths of lions. If we bring it here. Because half or not even half, all of us will be out of this building. But the Bible says they shut the mouths of lions. Child of God, I'm trying to impress on you the level at which they operated. Not because they had much faith, but simply because they had a mustard seed of faith. Your faith can achieve so much. It says, verse 34, they put out fierce fires, escaped being killed by the sword. They were weak, but became strong. There's Samson right there. So it's going to take after service. You might have trouble. It says, they were mighty in battle and defeated the armies of foreigners. You will defeat all your enemies in Jesus' name. And then verse 35a says, through faith, women received their dead relatives raised back to life. Child of God, that faith that you have, it is not little. It is much. It can achieve something for you. Just believe God, but use the weapons of faith, which is speaking and acting on the word of God. Be careful of the things you say this festive season, right? Don't eat seven colors to the point that you are saying things that are reversing the things that you've prayed for this entire year. God is still able to do it for you. You may be encouraged, you may be discouraged. If you are encouraged, let me increase your encouragement. God is still able. If you are discouraged, let me tell you, God is still able. We still have a couple of days left for this year. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Your faith is at work. Be encouraged. I said your faith, not my faith, not somebody else's faith, your faith. Turn to somebody and say, your faith. Turn to somebody else and say, your faith. Turn to somebody that you didn't turn to before and say, your faith. Your faith, child of God. And I know you have faith because you came here this morning. You believe in this God. Amen. Let's clap our hands and give God praise even as we stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Our God is worthy. Amen. Come on, just begin to
thank. Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.